Welcome back to A Country First Conversation. Today, Congressman Kinzinger will share why he decided not to run for re-election and his vision for Country First as we all come together to fight a broader fight nationwide to save the soul of our country. Remember to visit our website, countryfirst.com, and share our podcast with others. Thanks for joining, and here's our host, Congressman Adam Kinzinger.
Well, thank you, everybody. Welcome back to Country First Podcast, and thank you to everybody for all your subscriptions, listening. It's been a heck of a year, and this will be the end of our first season of podcasting, which is pretty cool, and at the turn of the year, we'll start our next season, and with some great guests talking about, of course, you know, how can we fix our politics? How can we fix our country? Some of the challenges out there and the difficulties. And I think back of the last year, you know, talking to people like, you know, Harry Dunn, people like, you know, my good friend, Jamie, talking about fear, where we were, you know, discussing the role that fear plays in fundraising and politics. And it's just, it's worth, in some cases for me, I like to go back and even listen to it to just kind of remember those moments I've been in. But one of the things I wanted to do, kind of wrapping up the end of the year here and wrapping up this season as we go into Thanksgiving. And by the way, if you haven't seen it, go to countryfirst.com and see our Thanksgiving Day video we did. And I think it's really great people doing this and just showing kind of the ridiculousness of some of the fights that we get in for Christmas. And, you know, back in, I guess it was January or February, I made some national headlines for a letter that was sent to me by some of my family members disowning me. And I obviously that's not fun to get. I'm glad it happened in a way, because I think it was able to show to the country the silliness of some of the things we deal with. But one of the things I really wanted to talk about in the season here is just, why did I make the decision not to run again? You know, obviously, I'm sure there were a lot of people, particularly part of the Country First movement, that were hoping that I would, you know, go make another run for it in Congress. And I wanted to talk about the challenges, the personal reasons, and frankly, the thing that makes me optimistic about the future of this movement and that process. So, you know, I want to talk just briefly about some of the obstacles. So when we look at some of the votes this year, you know, more recently, Steve Bannon, and, you know, more recently or most recently, Liz and I voting to censure Paul Gosar and the rest of the party, not doing that. And, you know, it's an easy vote to vote no if you have to run in a primary. But we've been fighting these battles in Congress, and starting in January after the 6th, I thought that this would be a growing kind of momentum in Congress where people would say, you know, okay, well, we're done with this. This is getting ridiculous. And what's been worrisome to me as much as anything is just watching that that's not happening. Watching that, you know, it becomes easier to vote with the party. Watching that it's easier to not take a stand. And when somebody like Paul Gosar, for instance, puts out a creepy, by the way, anime video, but, you know, showing himself killing somebody, another member of Congress, and taking a shot at the president, that becomes the new low standard. And when that becomes a new low standard, the next person's going to do their anime video. And then there's going to be a deep fake that looks like real people. And where does this stop? How do we put out there red lines to say, look, if you're going to govern yourself, if you're going to be a self-governing country, you have to have basic standards, even if you don't agree on anything. But, you know, you continually see how difficult that is when you're fighting alone. You know, I can tell you every one of my Republican colleagues, maybe with the exception of one or two, every one of them know the election wasn't stolen. Every one of them, a significant number of them, are I think, a little bit envious when, you know, I take a tough vote in Congress that they didn't really have the courage to do. And so I look at it and I go, okay, I'm one of 213 Republicans. Can I make a difference as constantly being the one person that votes differently? Well, I think you can make some difference. But I also think finding a bigger platform to make a bigger difference, to talk about, you know, if I'm running again for Congress, obviously that's one message, why you should elect me. You know, what have I done to deserve your vote again? And, you know, you put that out there. And obviously, as we know, campaigns get negative. And, you know, and then on the other side, I'm talking about this Country First message of changing the way we do politics, but having to, you know, do politics the old way. And for me, it was a constant conflict. The constant conflict of, look, I'm not ashamed of the fact that I'm a conservative Republican. I haven't been the one that's changed. The definition of conservatism has changed, but I haven't changed. And so I'm proud of that. But you look and it's like, you know, where's the best way to go out and do that fight? Running again for Congress or taking that vision of country first? The other thing is, let's talk about the reality of redistricting. By the way, at the end of this term, it will have been 12 years in Congress. 12 years. And 12 years is, you know, there's people that stay longer, people that are there less. But I think 12 years is a good time to go there and say, you know, I am fine with walking away if we need to. I've been able to go there and make a huge impact. If you don't want to be necessarily a committee chairman, you know, it's an opportunity to take your leave if that happens. But in Illinois, I want to talk about redistricting because it's not a Democratic problem. Now, I'll be clear, in Illinois, it's the Democrats doing this redistricting. But I know there are states where the Republicans are in charge and the Republicans are out there doing the same thing. So I want to talk about redistricting in general. I think it's important to kind of go over what redistricting is. So as you all know, 435 members of the House of Representatives, that doesn't change. So as the country grows, that doesn't change. And so we do this census every 10 years. We find out how many people are in the country, where they're living. And you take that total number of population divided by 435, and you get basically a district size, and then you allocate them to the states. Illinois lost a district. We lost a district 10 years ago. I was elected in 2010, and immediately that was a redistricting year, and I was drawn in with another Republican member of Congress. The Democrats in Illinois targeted me, and you know, I had to go in and fight in a primary with another incumbent, and I won. But then they did it again. And so I live in a district that obviously very Republican, people know me, and yet in the new district, go two blocks to the east of where I live right now, and it's a completely different district. So they intentionally drew me in with another Republican. And look, I've been through this before. I don't necessarily think I really want to go through that again. And, you know, again, secondarily, let's just be honest about the challenges in a Republican primary. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say, boy, I would win no problem. And I think it was interesting. So I said, you know, a little bit ago, yeah, I haven't changed. When I ran in 2010, I, you know, had a certain set of things I believed in. And, you know, with a few exceptions, because as you get older, as you learn things over 10 years, you're going to change your mind on some of these issues. Like, for instance, gun control. I'm a strong Second Amendment advocate, but I also recognize that we need to have universal background checks. We need to make sure that, you know, only the right people are able to buy guns and protect that Second Amendment right, but also recognize where there can be changes. So you have nuances like that, but I haven't changed. But the Republican Party has. And so if I run in a primary, what's the battle? I keep saying what I'm going to say, and that's me, so that's what I would do. And then you're up against somebody saying things. He's not sufficiently loyal enough to Trump, and he believes that Joe Biden won the election. And so, you know, those are the challenges. And plus the fact, you know, we're excited that in January we're going to have a baby boy coming. It's a whole new part of life. And I looked at it and I go, man, when I ran the very first time, I told people in every speech I did, I said, if I get to the point where I realize it's time to move on, I will. And that time's now. But that doesn't mean I'm giving up the fight. In fact, I'm excited to really double down in this fight with you because I think the challenges are so big. The challenges out there, the slide to autocracy, the slide to division and hate is so serious. You asked me a year and a half ago, I would have been optimistic about the trajectory of this country. Today, I'm not. I'm not optimistic without people taking ownership and doing something different, making that change. And so that's why I'm excited about now being able to focus entirely on country first, to be able to double down on what I kind of consider unplugging from the matrix. You know, think about this. I introduced Sophia. She's seen it before, but we watched all the Matrixes again recently. And it's funny because I'm sitting there watching and I'm like, dude, basically the matrix is what politics is right now. I was talking to a friend of mine who's never been a Donald Trump fan. I was at a wedding and all of a sudden he's singing Donald Trump's praises. Of course, that caught me a little by surprise. And I said, you know, like, what changed? And he said, oh, well, you know, Joe Biden botched the Afghanistan withdrawal, and he's a veteran, and he was mad about it. And I realized he thinks that the opposite of Joe Biden and the Democrats is Donald Trump. You know, a lot of people think, if I don't like Joe Biden, I have to go with Donald Trump. Or conversely, if I don't like Donald Trump, I have to go with Joe Biden. The truth is, there's a huge array of options out there besides having to go with Donald Trump. But we've been programmed into this belief that every issue has two sides. We've got guests, we got company. You know, we've been programmed into this belief that every issue has two sides. There's either the Democratic side or there's the Republican side. We believe that, you know, either you're for gun control or you're against gun control. The truth is, though, there's not two sides to everything. The truth is there is a huge array of options within that, right? You can be against gun control, but for reasonable restrictions. You can be for gun control, but also recognize the Second Amendment. But we've been programmed that there's two sides to every issue. And that's what Country First is going to do with your help, is to unplug from the belief that we have that you have one of two choices in any given issue. And let's reinvent opportunity. Let's reinvent solutions. You know, we know that we have income disparity in this country. What's the Republican answer? Cut taxes. What's the Democratic answer? Raise taxes. We've been debating that exact same issue, by the way, for probably 100 years, but definitely the last 40 or 50. The truth is, both sides have had an opportunity to implement their answers, and yet we continue to have wage disparity in this country. Now, I want to stand here and tell you what the answer is to that. I don't know it. But I know somebody out there listening has an idea that we've not talked about before for wage disparity, and that idea is actually the solution in this time. I know that when we talk about things like, you know, gun violence in this country, or we talk about things like climate change, or we talk about poverty, you know, everybody gets put into this box. But guess what? Conservative Republicans are against poverty. Liberal Democrats are against poverty. Both have had an opportunity to solve poverty, and neither have succeeded. So somebody out there has an idea nobody's been talking about to solve the issue of poverty. I don't know what it is, but what I know is that exists out there. And that's what I want Country First to be. I want Country First to be about the restoration of the Republican Party, the restoration of politics, the restoration of the citizen that is able to bring forward solutions and have those solutions heard. And most importantly, too, I want it to be as positive as we are, as optimistic as we are. I want us to aggressively and loudly, and to an extent using righteous anger, call out the abuse that is being done by parties to the American people. I want to point out every time fear is used, not because they need to motivate you to some answer, but because they need to motivate you to depart from your money. I want to call out every time that a speech is given on the floor of the House of Representatives or the Senate that has no intention of convincing anybody except getting a YouTube moment to go out and raise money on. These are the kinds of things that Country First can be, and that's my vision for this movement. We have to take this fight nationwide. From the House of Representatives, you have a great forum. Without being a House member, and it's been an honor to do it, I want to be very clear. I have no regrets of my time in the House. But you also have to recognize sometimes when it's time to move on and create a bigger fight. And that, by the way, that true change, that difference, is not going to come from me. It's not going to be me coming with a slate of solutions that maybe people accept or don't. That whole difference has to come from all of us. And I know of those listening right now, there are some out there that we would put on the far left, some on the far right, some in the middle, some at probably some political thing I've never even heard of before. But all of you understand that something is broken and we have to fix it. All of you understand that the way to self-govern is for people to actually respect each other again, for people to actually listen to each other again, to make a friend on the other side of the aisle and learn that they're actually no different from you. They just maybe have different policy solutions. You know, we're just coming off, as I'm recording this, the Kyle Rittenhouse verdict. And hopefully by the time this is published, there wouldn't have been a lot of violence. But, you know, you feel regardless the tension out there. And you see each side sometimes provoking the other because they're angry. And the only way to feel better is to go out and scream and provoke. But the truth is, if we actually talk about racial issues in this country, we talk about police issues in this country, I think if we actually tone down the temperature, we could solve these problems. But you know what? It takes a new generation of people outside of the system that have had enough, that want to come together and make a difference. And that's what Country First will be. But it will not be that on my decision. It will only be that if all of you decide you agree and you want to come on this journey together. I'm going to keep fighting desperately for this country. Country First will keep fighting desperately for this country. As we go into the midterm elections, we're going to look for candidates that aren't out there trying to sell fear to get elected. We're going to look for candidates that are out there trying to present solutions, that have a heart for this country, that are going in for the right reason, and that are standing up and saying the way we're doing business doesn't work and the trajectory we're on is failing. So from the day this was launched to here at the end of the podcast season, you know, going into Thanksgiving and Christmas and Hanukkah and New Year's, you know, I think of how far we've come from I'm going to do a video and I'm just going to tell the truth in the video to now thousands, tens of thousands, many, many tens of thousands of members, state chapters popping up, college campuses of Country First popping up. The fundraising to college to Country First has been incredible. The generosity of you all that have opened your pocketbooks to say, instead of giving money to fear, we're going to give money to change. We're going to give money to hope and optimism. And the number of people that have just said, I'm going to volunteer, like volunteer for a movement. People don't volunteer for much anymore. It is really humbling and really incredible. And so while I'm closing a chapter in 14 months and I still have plenty of time in Congress, sometimes I think it would be nice to be able to walk away tomorrow, but I know I have obligations and I know that we still have the January 6th committee and I know that there's going to be a lot going on in the next 14 months. But as I look at moving on to the next chapter, it is not the end of a story. I think it's the beginning of a great story. I think it's the beginning of something that when people look back in 10, 20, 30, 100 years and read the history books about this moment in America that feels like it's sometimes, you know, 1859, we're at each other's throats, we're divided, we're, I think when people, yeah, our great-great-grandkids, when they read history books, I think Country First is going to be noted in there as the movement that changed the trajectory of politics and saved this country and saved self-governance. Our obligation is not just to ourselves. Our obligation is not just to the generations to follow us. We refuse to be the first generation to leave our kids a country worse off than the one we inherited. Our parents gave us a better country. Their parents gave them a better country. We are not going to allow ourselves to give our kids a worse country. I think we have an obligation not just to ourselves, but also to a world that is desperate for American leadership. A world that looks to the United States and remembers the United States that caused the Iron Curtain to come down, not because of our military might, not because of our military power, but because for three generations behind the Iron Curtain, American media and ideals and freedom were beamed behind that. And people eventually said, enough. We want that too. The American dream and inspiration is the thing that motivated that Iron Curtain to come down and free millions. We can't walk away from that obligation. So listen, we talk about putting our country first. You know, Country First is about putting others before sometimes even your own needs. It's about sacrificing for the fact that if we don't do that now, I shudder to think what this country will become. So as we wrap up the first season of podcasting, as we go into a holiday season, let me encourage you to spend that time and, you know, if you start seeing the food fight like we have in the video at the table, you know, let's bring the temperature of that down. Let's try to create bridges and create some healing. But the one thing I want to challenge you and reach out to us at country1st.com. If you have solutions to problems that you think nobody's talking about or solutions to problems that we've been debating forever, send them forward to us. Yeah, maybe it'll end up being a solution that, you know, doesn't work, right? I think for every great idea, there's probably going to be a ton of bad ideas. But send them to us, because somewhere out there, one of you have in your head the solution to poverty in this country. Somewhere out there, somebody has in their head what we can do to begin to heal race relations in this country or to save this environment. Somewhere out there. It's not me, but I'm happy to bring you all together and to get your ideas from you so we can, as a movement, change the trajectory of where this country's going. Does it sound very big? Yes. Is this a huge goal? It sure is. But I got to tell you, if you look at movements throughout history, they all start small and grow big. And we're on the way to getting much, much bigger. So I just want to say to all of you, have a great holiday season. Thank you for letting me kind of explain my reasoning behind not running for Congress again. And thank you for being part of this journey. So God bless you all. And remember to keep putting country first.
This has been a Country First Conversation with Adam Kinzinger. As we close our first season, we want to thank you for listening and supporting our fight. The Country First team wants to hear from you. Please be sure to share in the comments or send us a note at info@countryfirst.com to share your thoughts. And be sure to visit countryfirst.com for our other podcast conversations, and be sure to subscribe to receive all the latest updates.